Welcome, fabulous. Today's episode is such a treat. I met Jean-Marie Ayres at the beginning of the year, and she is a hoot. Oh my goodness. And I said, you know, I'd love to have you come with me on the podcast and we could talk. And she said, well, I've got a podcast with two other women and we do everything together. And so I thought, well, let's have a party. Today's episode has four women on it. Three over 50, one close enough. She's going to count in here with us. And we have a very engaging discussion. Now, if you've got young kids in the car, you might not want to have them listen. It's not an explicit one, but we do talk about some things that women talk about when they get together. And it might not be something for the family to listen to. So just a disclaimer, but we are having so much fun. In fact, we had such a blast that I broke it up into two different episodes. So we're going to listen to the first half today. We'll listen to the next half later in the week as a bonus, because we talked for over an hour and there's just some great nuggets of information in here. Some of the things that you think, is it just me? Are other women feeling this? I just feel like it's all such great information. I want to leave it all here. So here they are. Everything and Jack. Hi, everybody. I am so excited to have you all here. Can I have you each introduce yourselves?
My name is Jean-Marie Ayres, and yes, Amy.
I'm Amy Sullivan Ryan.
And I'm Dr. Carrie Skirtla.
And we're from the podcast from Everything and Jack, right, Carrie? And
yeah, where we talk about everything.
And absolutely nothing.
Got that right.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love your show. I've listened to it. And the way the three of you can talk without over talking each other is a miracle. And that's why I thought we could have a great conversation. That is something I'm working on doing. And so I thought we would start with something by asking you all a question, which is What's something that you thought was really important when you were younger, but have realized It really isn't?
You know, there's having so a super many. Hot man, like a man That's like got defined and chiseled abs. I realize It just is not important.
Yeah, that definitely fades.
I'm still actually interested in that.
I'm interested in it, but it's like, okay, I don't think I'm going to define my whole life.
But if they don't have it, we can still have a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, the first thing I thought of was sex. I went, oh, sex. But, you know, we don't want to say that publicly. It just seems like a lot of trouble. You know, sometimes I just go, you know what? What I want is a really nice sleep. Do you know what I mean? It seems like
I want sex. You know that.
But you know what? That used to be really important at some point. It, not just the sex bit, but the intimacy.
The intimacy.
But the wanting it. It's more than that. Yeah. It's the wanting it. It's the hunting it. It's going. I noticed that I was thinking the other day. Not that long ago. It could have been just yesterday when. Was it yesterday? It could have been as early as yesterday when I walked into a place and I went, oh, I'm not as flirtatious as I used to be when I was. It was that. And clearly there was something important. So it's not really the sex bit. It's more like.
Yeah. Maybe the validation.
Like, yeah.
Or the sexual tension.
Oh, the show, the
that's
like going through it. Like, it's just so great to be able to call up your man and go, okay, I'm coming home. Take off your pants. Right. Like, it's just like it's not having to build up to the sexual tension of like, are we actually going to get there? No. This is
true.
This is what I need.
You should stop now because I know it takes you a while.
Because Mike came home from work yesterday. That's my husband. And he came home from work yesterday. And as soon as he came through the door, I took his hand and walked him into the bedroom. Like,
see?
So, right. Yeah. But I have to say it's the understanding of intimacy and the exchange. And also at our ages, because this is about a show about women over 50, the medicinal benefits of still engaging are just like amazing neurologically. Women over 50 that are still having active and positive sexual intercourse I don't know why that was so hard to get out.
I know. I was wondering, but, what's going on there? What's going on there,
Dr. Carey? Seriously, yeah. The data just shows that it reduces the potential for dementia, Alzheimer's, things like that. So there's a lot of medicinal benefits to women our age still engaging in that.
There you go, ladies. There's a reason. Okay. Yeah. And so here's a question too, is when you were younger, when you first got married, did you feel as comfortable to say, hey, it's now we're going in there now? Or is that something that's come to you more recently?
No, not when I first got married, it was 2 days before I had sex for the first time, but that was a whole programming from my dad about being a good girl. But my mother and my grandmother are Egyptian. And they just had a very positive mindset around it and just really taught me how to enjoy myself. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I feel like not enough women have that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. How do we know that? Really? I don't know that. I just want to put it out there. That's a very swell swooping statement.
Well, there is data.
And the women that I know, okay, the women that I know that I've talked to.
I always have data, Jen.
Most of them have not had positive encouragement about their sexuality from parents. So I think it's really important. And yeah, it's just the people I know. That's true. Yeah. I shouldn't make a sweeping statement, but that they don't have, it's don't do it. But then there's never, but when you are married, this is all the beauty of it, right? They don't ever say this is the beauty of it. It's rarely.
Yeah. And I think men or women are having that conversation, and I'm probably, I don't have data for this, but I have 4 sons. And I had a lot of conversation with them about it and to help them understand women and to, really bring something to the table other than their own needs.
Well, okay. Is there a follow through for that, Dr. Carey? I didn't want to go to a different subject.
I just think what Jen is saying. It's like there's this whole shaping in our culture about, and it's all placed on the female. Be a good girl, be a good wife, that sort of thing. Who's talking to the men? Like really helping them to understand what we need. I have to say my husband has a level of mastery around that, understanding that the largest sex organ on a female is her mind. And so if you can unlock my mind, and really motivate me in the things that stimulate me mentally, you'll probably have a good date night. But if you're just, all of a sudden out of nowhere rubbing my shoulders and
I actually had this image of like, oh, that's what that ear thing is. It's like it's an entry to the mind.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And I was sharing this past weekend, like, my husband took me on a date, took me out to hear a band, and it was just, he was so cool and confident. And then we came out from the concert. I'm so in love with him, just infatuated. I can feel the dopamine releasing, right? And he couldn't find the car. And because he couldn't find the car, he started to get stressed and snappy, and he was losing cool points like rapidly. And I realized, like, I'm the one that's going to pay the price for this if I start to view him as, like, oh, my gosh, you're so goofy. You can't find the car. And so I had to rescue my thinking because I could just feel it. It was like, yeah, I'm losing interest here. He started to look a little dorky. Right. And so it's really a mind game that most of us are not aware of at all. We haven't been taught how to focus on our men, how to focus on intimacy in order to really have it go well.
How to ask what we want. I mean,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we're the ones that, end up paying the price because we don't know how to do that. Now, sex is just something you're surviving. And I've spoken with women about this, ladies, where they know what to do to actually rush the situation and have it be over, right? So that's an act of survival. It really is. But if we can grab a hold of what I'm saying, that it's medicinal, it's good for you, and you want to keep a healthy mindset in the process in a way that you view your partner, I think it'll go a lot different. And yeah. I think that was important to me when I was young, and it continues to be important to me today.
So I just want to add to that, because you said something about men, and then Amy go, what it was something you want. And I go, no, I'm asking for what I want.
Yeah,
but I right. do have a man that looks at me deer in the headlights. And as we're talking about fabulous over 50, fabulous, yeah. by the way. And it's like, okay, let's not forget we have menopause. And I mm-hmm. would like actually men to actually do some reading on menopause. Like when mm-hmm. you said the biggest organ is the mind, like, hey, you know, this is like the whole evening or the whole afternoon, or how about the whole day? Don't ignore me for the whole day
yes.
and expect a tip at the end of the night.
And then start rubbing my shoulders. Like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What is
that?
Did you lose,
yesterday
did
when
you
I
lose
actually
something? Yeah, I lost exactly. something in my shoulder there. Just sometimes I ask my man to massage me. And I'm going, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what
yeah, not there.
yep. Yeah, and he really is not that interested. Anyway, like, oh, my feet. You know, it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
So there's also what's important now is really know about women. Don't give me all the work. Like, I know, like, and by the way, this is probably the show that my husband's not going to listen to, because I'm going to talk about him. It's because it's like he knows how to go golfing and hang out with his guys.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it's like you get to a certain age. It's like, no. I still need something. I still need some stimulation, some talking to. And there is something special about menopause. That's what I don't think we talk enough about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens to women when we have menopause? It's a fabulous conversation.
I think we hijacked Jen's show.
What? Yeah, it's great. Well,
no,
you know,
yeah. I think we just hijacked Jen's show.
Oh, yeah, thanks for putting us back to planet Jen. Oh, my gosh, come on.
I like this. This is why I don't do my introduction until after I do the show, because I don't know where we're going. So
we don't know either. Talking. So
this is great.
Get on the bus.
Because this is the kind of thing that I don't normally talk about, but we need to be talking about it.
We do.
And I like talking about it with a group of people, not just me saying my opinion, because we are four women with four different opinions. Everyone listening has a different opinion.
Yeah.
So no, I think we should ride this train and keep talking about
Let's
this. I think
it.
It's brilliant.
Because Jean-Marie is spot on. There's no conversation about that phase of life for women. There's every conversation when we enter into womanhood. I remember my mother telling me, like, you know, if you start your period, you can go to any woman. She'll help you if you're not with me. And, you know, you could just say to him, oh, I got cramps, right? You know, but on the other side, when I was going through menopause, I called my mother and I'm like, Mom, do you have any advice for me? And she's like, dress in layers. You'll get hot.
Wow.
You want to come out of stuff. Yeah, that was like her only advice, not how to really care for myself, how to recognize the influence that it would have on my mindset from time to time. And with so little information about hormones out there, I mean, they've only discovered in the last 30, 40 years that hormones are the control center for a human being. There is really no conversation about male menopause. And so when you say hormones to a man, he thinks that's something we deal with and not him. And,
even though he's in his brand new convertible.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's true.
Evil. Like it's a bad thing. Right. But it's those same hormones that say, hey, take off your pants. Right.
Yeah.
It's like they don't recognize that those are also hormones that we're dealing with, the happy ones that make us feel good and we want to have sex all the time and everything else. It's just, God, I really wish there was a lot more out there on hormones.
Yeah.
You know, do you take the stuff? Do you not take the stuff? Do you do the pellets? Do you be all natural? Whatever. And it's like, I feel sorry for the women ahead of us, or ahead of me, I should say, because I'm not there yet. That almost all of them look back and they go, I wish I had. I wish I would have done this. I wish I had done this instead of that, you know? And it really shouldn't be a situation of looking back going, I wish I would have done this instead of that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing about hormones that I've been wanting to say on the show, and I there's never an opportunity, is that I had a hysterectomy. I thought, okay, you have the hysterectomy. You have they say you go right into menopause. Okay. So, but the doctor did not say, and then for the next few decades, you're going to be dealing with some things. They were like, oh, then it's over. Well, that was lies.
Yeah.
But they also put me on, I didn't want to take the estrogen because I need to do the BRCA test. And I honestly keep putting that off. So I knew no estrogen, but they said, well, then do the progesterone and testosterone, which turns out can also be a problem. So now I'm not taking those. But what they don't tell you, when I get very low doses of the testosterone, I look down one day, I've got black hair growing on my stomach, like a man. And this mustache coming in, and okay, well, that would have been good information, because those are break it points for me. So no, I don't want that. And then it took 6 months for all that to stop. And, you know, we're not telling women, these are the things that'll happen. Like, we need to know. If you really want that extra boost of energy or whatever that it did give me, that's fine. But do you want the, no, I don't know. You know?
Yeah. No, I think it's good. But we should actually, because it's not a visual show right now, we just want to make sure that people do know you've now got hair all over you.
Pretty long hair. Sounds pretty long hair.
It is gone now, I will say that. But it is now. I was not prepared. And I feel like doctors are not taking the time. I mean, what would that have taken? 2 minutes to say, these are some things that might happen, though.
Were they a male doctor or female?
It's a male doctor.
Well, there you go. Yeah. How do they know? What the heck?
Yeah. Well, they don't. Yeah. So they share what they know. But again, you know, like looking at the studies, hormones, scientists have only just made these discoveries. If you put in a Google search, like, I want to understand hormones, you're not going to find very much. There's only a couple of really good books out there on the topic. And they're written in such a way that you would have to be a medical professional to really comprehend everything they're saying. And when I went through menopause, who I found had done the deep dive work and put together the best compilation of data was Suzanne Summers. Because of everything that we're talking about, she was trying to understand it. And
mean the underwear lady?
The Thighmaster lady.
The Thighmaster.
The Thighmaster.
Yeah. Three's Company.
She was an actress. Three's Company. Yeah. Suzanne Summers. The woman. Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lingerie store in England called Anne Summers. So I just wanted to.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think she has the most complete body of work that I've seen in her books. But a lot of people look at her and they're like, oh, that's Chrissy Snow from
Right. Three's She's
Company.
A ditzy blonde. She doesn't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it really is the best. And it helped me a lot. It even helped me to understand what happens to men. Her and her husband have been together since I think they were like 20 years old. They're in their late 60s now. And she had a lot of really good information in there. And so men deal with low testosterone. Their estrogen levels go up. And this is why they become so needy and emotional as they get older. Seriously.
I think we're talking about Amy's boyfriend.
Yeah, it's just like, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? And
is that
the
why you're
information that they get, I mean, think about the commercials for our generation. Like, you're in your car listening to your radio station for music of our time. I like all things 70s. And every commercial is about ED. And ED and memory loss, brain fog. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so there's remedies out there, but no explanations. That's my point.
Yeah. Yep. And there we go.
Did I lose you guys?
No. I just wanted to know. Did I miss that commercial because I didn't know what ED stood for? I'm sorry.
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, I had to hear the whole thing. Okay. It's quite a mouthful,
very
but then maybe I shouldn't say that. It's like, wow. All right. So what was the original question? I just, you know, this
I know.
Isn't that funny? I know.
To you when you were younger, that's not so much. Isn't now.
Well, we can move on. Let's talk about something else, because I think the next question is, what is the biggest blessing of growing older? Mm-hmm. See, that's something that we don't talk
definitely
about enough.
Wisdom
about
definitely biggest wisdom blessing. For me. Yeah, like the things that I've learned, the life lessons. And when I was younger, I would hear people all the time say, you know, if only I could go back in time with what I know now, right? So I think that's what it is for me. And everything from selecting the right inner circle to decision making in matters of my life, I'm just wiser now. Yeah.
She is a wise one. Well, I think for me, if I was going to be really like, what's biggest blessing? Because I don't think it's a thing as much as like you had something about decisions. I was thinking I try to hear what's a feeling and what's the thing I said I was going to do. Like most of the time I don't even want to get out of bed. You know, that would be, but I do because I said I was going to do something. Like when I was younger, it was, you know, I don't feel like it anymore. So that some blessing around, it's easier to show up than it isn't.
Yeah.
That's and that may not be, you know, that's not a blessing, but it is there's some intelligence about that. Maybe cultural intelligence or some intelligence, like just show up. Because I'm sure I showed up as in my late teens, early 20s. I mean, it's a bit of a blur. So I probably didn't show up, you know, a lot. I would say now right. I show up. Like I had to show up this morning for my sister in England. And in England, it was 2 a.m. And I showed up at 2 a.m. And I didn't want to show up at TA. It's just so much easier to go to bed. But I showed up because I said I was going to show up. I'm not sure I was physically. But that to me is some intelligence of understanding the impact if I didn't show up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it would be the ability to unstuck myself, so to speak, meaning that my thoughts and ideas, my judgments of people and situations, when I look backwards on my life, I was very rigid early on in my life. And things were a certain way. And they're just, I mean, it wasn't even, it was black or white. It was just black. Like that was just the way it was. And I couldn't hear other people's opinions or thoughts or ideas. And as I've gotten older, I can. And I can actually, I've learned the ability to hear where people are coming from and empathize with them. And recognize also when I am being stuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know for me, I used to think there was
one.
Yeah, there was right and there was wrong is how I used to think. Like everything was right or wrong. Even like things like as dumb as loading the dishwasher. When my husband and I met, he was going to do it for me. And I said, no, you're doing it wrong. And he said, well, actually, there is no wrong way. If you want the dishes clean and you want me to do it, this is how I'm going to. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're right. You know, and it's so many things are like that where they don't matter. They're not life or death things. And it's okay to sit back and let it go. And oh, look, you even have that sign on your thing.
I think you have to know though, Jen, when to, because I still live in a world of right and wrong. It should be this way. It should be this way. I think what Amy is, it's right, but there's a little bit of, oh, wait a minute. What you're saying is, oh, well, that's kind of, my husband thinks there is a right way to load the dishwasher. And I have it right that there isn't a right way to load the dishwasher.
Yeah.
But hey, honey, go ahead. Be my guest. Load it up.
My only thing about the dishwasher is don't put the forks and spoons like head down. Don't go taking them out with your hands touching the fork I'm going to be using. Right?
Don't come to my house.
That's my
carry.
Seriously, but that's my only.
See, there's a little bit of a right way.
Other than that, everything else, just throw it in there, get it clean.
But it's not just that. I mean, it could be, you know, the way you raise your kids, the way you potty train them. I mean, God, yeah. I look back at my kids and it was like, if I read a book, I mean, that was it. I actually remember it was a series of books called Baby Wise, Child Wise, Toddler Wise, Teen Wise, right? Mm-hmm. And it went on. And oh my God, like my son was like 9 months old and I'm supposed to feed him at noon and it's 11:45 and he's screaming. He's hungry. Mm-hmm. But damn it, that clock does not say noon and you are waiting 15 minutes. Like,
right.
Like even in for myself, the inability to like really process the information that I was dealing with at that mm-hmm. moment, which was, hey, people actually get hungry sometimes 15 minutes before mm-hmm. you're supposed to feed them. But I had read this book and I was so set that this was the way I was going to raise my kids that yeah, I could not yeah. let go of the fact. I just let him be pissed for 15 minutes. And then at noon, yeah. I gave him his food. But
yeah.
That's what I mean by like actually the ability to recognize in a situation when I'm being stubborn or stuck or digging in my heels or whatever, and I actually can't see what's going on around me.
Right.
Now, as I've gotten older, I can actually do that.
What you're saying, though, is so important. If people could really get that all of that is just programs and programs take root in the mind when we accept an idea. And when you're young before age 12, your brain is just a big dumping ground. That's it. Everything your parents tell you, it's all shaped what you learn at school, what you say with your friends. And then as you get older, you know, we have more conscious participation in our decisions. But they're so subtle. Once we accept an idea, like this is the way that you load a dishwasher, it becomes the truth. And that's that. And one of the things I've learned from Jean-Marie, I remember a couple of years ago, I called her and I was just really upset. And she was like, so you're just ready to ruin your life over that. And I'm like, ruin my life? You know, I didn't see it on that level. And because I've been married before, I looked at younger me, I was just emphatic. Take your shoes off at the door. And he would come in sometimes. He's tired. He's coming in. He still has his shoes on. And I'm attacking him. Why are you in here with your shoes on? You're bringing the outside indoors. It's nasty out there. And now we're arguing about it. And I'm ruining my life over an idea that I accepted. So definitely, Amy, I just love that so much. I think we should all do that and look at what we categorize as right or wrong. And is it really, or is it just something that our parents said or some societal norm that we've accepted and we're inflexible around it?
Yeah, I like that. And I just want to say that I do believe that there is right and wrong in the world. I just want to say, like, yeah. There are certain things, right? I mean, because I said there was no, that's not what I meant, though. But I just,
oh, no, wait, I wait, get that. Wait, it's a totally big difference between clubbing yeah. someone in the head and yelling at a man that's been working all day because
very
he exactly. was too tired to kick his shoes off.
Who's got
door.
That fabulous quote by that fabulous, is it Rumi? Who said there's a field out there. There's right. That I'm going to look it up. Got to look it up. It's that. Do you know the quote I'm talking about? Like,
I
out
do.
There.
It's the yes. one.
Is it Rumi?
It's yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. Because I was just looking at it a couple of months ago.
Oh, you got
about
it already?
The force field. I think he calls it a force field of normative ethics.
If you carry on talking, I'm going to thank goodness. The Rumi poet who said there's a field. And I'll meet you out there, out beyond. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. It's coming up. It's loading. It's very exciting. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there.
Yeah. I like that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
We got some depth to this show, Jane. Jen. Right? Not Jane at all. That's another show, Jane.
That's okay. But I have a daughter, Jane, so it's okay.
And so we had people on the show the other day and they called me Jean Marie and I was like, that's wrong.
Yeah. I heard that. I really didn't like it.
I've 58 years, I'm Jean Marie Ears. And I purposely sit and go, I'm not moving until they say Jean-Marie Ayres, which is never going to happen. So not going to happen. Right? Unspellable name.
And on Jean-Marie Ayres' name, we shall part for today. But please come back because the rest of this conversation is coming later in the week. And it is also fabulous. You know, I am so thankful that these women have each other as such close friends. And as you know, right now there's this epidemic of loneliness, and I've started a new thing called Jen's Friends. It's a daily 2 to 3 minute video email for women of a certain age who are feeling, well, lonely. Maybe their kids don't call as much as they could. Maybe they live alone. Maybe it's you, or maybe someone you know, and you feel like, I should be calling more, but I'm not. And I need help and I need support. Go to jenhardy.net/friends and you will find it's very easy to sign up. And I'll be in their inbox every day, loving them, encouraging them, and just showing that you're not alone. So I'd love it if you'd check that out and share it with somebody who could really use it. And definitely listen to the next episode. We are going to have these amazing women finish our conversation. Stay tuned and stay fabulous.